بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. The topic that we're going to be discussing in the second part of this course is entitled عشر قواعد في تزكية النفس. يعني 10 principles, 10 قواعد concerning purification of the soul. Okay, this, keeping in mind, brothers and sisters, that يعني the purpose of joining these two topics together is because of the necessity, the need of dealing with these two different areas that overlap sometimes, but certainly we need to give attention to both of them. And we need to be dealing with the rectification of the society, the people around us, wherever we may be. But also we can't forget those who are so engaged in da'wah that they forget about themselves, then they're headed for destruction. Meaning that the rectification of the society is a priority, no doubt about it. But it doesn't mean that you have the right to neglect your own self. So the second part of this course is for us to be reminded that we ourselves need to give attention to ourselves. Didn't Allah tell us in the Quran? Huh? Naam. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Yani save yourselves and your family from the fire. Yani yourself first. Even though, yes, we're concerned about the society. Yani we always say, as Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah used to say, yani that we want to be the muslih, not just the salih. The salih is the one who yani is righteous within himself. But the muslih is the one who's righteous in himself and also tries to rectify the others, the society. That's what we're really talking about. So today, inshallah, we're going to start the second part of this course, عَشْرُ قَوَاعِدْ فِي يعني تَزْكِيَةَ النَّفْسِ. 10 principles. Shaykh mentioned 10 principles. And yani, last time we also had about 10 principles. So close, yani, or something like that. This was originally a speech that the Shaykh gave, but then he edited it for printing. So it's a little bit more organized, because he had a chance to sit down and look at it and put it together the way he wanted it to be. It's a little different than the original speech, but the points are pretty much the same. So we're going to look at this. Before we go into the reading, the introduction to the book, I want to just, yani, for the sake of those who may be new with us, otherwise, yani, the Shaykh, the author, is familiar to most of us. So just like a couple of words concerning the author of this book, that is, his name is Shaykh Abdul Razak. He's the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr. Hafidhum Allah. May Allah protect and preserve both of them. Yani his father is the Muhaddith of Medina. Yani he is a scholar, yani, of the highest rank, a man of character, morality, yani knowledge, subhanallah. It was his father, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, who in the time when the Shiites, long time ago, came to Medina and said they wanted to have discussions with the Muslim scholars in Medina. And Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad was the one who said, first they have to agree that if we have a difference, we're going to go back to the Quran and Sunnah. And he recited to them from the Quran, what? وَإِنْ تَنَازَعَتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِ. If they agree to that, we will talk to them. If they don't agree to that, in the modern language, they would say, he didn't say this. Just shiny to wake us up in case we're sleeping. The young kids, they say in some places, get out of here. They say, kick rocks. He told them, get out of here. And what is there to talk about? If we're not going to agree that there's a difference, it goes back to the book and the sunnah, what is there to talk about? Wallahi, this is a lesson, tremendous lesson. They didn't agree. They couldn't agree. How could they agree to that? There was no discussions. The lesson is, if we want to have discussions with people, we have to agree first on the foundation. It has to go back to the Quran and to the Sunnah. And the Shaykh Abdul Razak, he learned from his father well. He learned from his father well. Anyway, he is the author of this topic for us tonight. The son, Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Badr Al-Badr, Hafizhum Allah. He was born on the 22nd of Dhul Qa'adah in the year 1382. That would make him right now what? This is the year 1440. Thank you. 58. Naam. So the Shaykh, he's still, yani, relatively young. Imam Ibrahim. He's still relatively young, right? 58 only. Naam, but subhanallah. Naam. He was born in Zulfi, in the the Riyadh province. Yani Zulfi is a place in the province of Riyadh in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. His undergraduate studies, his master's degree and his PhD degree were all at the Islamic University of Medina. His teachers, from among the many scholars that he benefited from, first and foremost, Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, rahimahullah. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. His father, Al-Allama Abdul Muhsin al-Abad, hafidhahullah, and the noble Sheikh Ali Nasir, faqihi, hafidhahullah. These are some of the scholars that he benefited from, and there are others plenty. From among his many writings, Fiqh al-Ad'iyya wal-Adhkar, and I always recommend this book, Understanding the Supplications and Words of Remembrance. These books here, these supplication books, all of them translated from that one book. Fiqh, yani, the fiqh of yani supplications of Ad'iyya wal-Adhkar of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad. Ta'azim al-Salat, the great importance of Salat, which is a book that we studied yani previously some time ago, tremendous, tremendous, tremendous life-changing book. If a person read that with an open heart, it will affect your heart. It will affect your life. It will change everything for you. Explanation of the book, Exemplary Principles by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. Yani, Exemplary Principles, anybody know which book this is? Al-Qawaid al-Muthla. Yani, the Exemplary Principles related to the Asma'u Allah wa Sifati of Shaykh Uthaymeen. He explained this book. Yani, the Shaykh explains it. Explanation of the Good Words, Kalimat Tayyib by Ibn Taymiyyah. Explanation of Aqeedah al-Tahawi by Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah. Explanation of Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. And there are so many others. Sheikh has a lot of writings. From amongst his translated works, The Methodology of Ahl Sunnah and Uniting the Ummah. This topic of great importance. The Methodology of Ahl Sunnah and Uniting the Ummah. Certainly, unity is necessary, but upon the Manhaj of Ahl Sunnah. Very important topic. And a topic that we took some time ago. The value of time in the Muslim's life for every individual. You need to read this book. Yani, the value of time in the life, in the Muslim's life. Very, very important topic. Causes behind increase and decrease of Iman. And this book is indeed one of the classics of the Shaykh. Causes of behind increase and decrease of Iman. It's based on what Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di wrote in his book related to the Asbab of Yani Ziyad and Nuqsan of Iman in his book Shajaratul Iman. Al-Tawdih wal-Bayan. Shajaratul Iman. That's also a very important book by Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di. He expands on those principles in this book. 50 points of benefit extracted from the story of Luqman al-Hakim. And this is also a tremendous book that we read together here in this masjid long time ago, some years ago. His occupation, he is presently a member of the teaching staff at the Islamic University of Medina. And he has also given numerous lectures at the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's masjid in Medina and other locations locally and abroad. And he's been around the world. Actually, he's been invited everywhere in the Arab countries, Africa, Asia, everywhere in the world. Now, just brief, yani, something in case, make us feel the station and the status of the author of this book. He begins, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Muqaddimah, yani, the introduction to this book. Try to pay attention to the time. Yani, introduction of the book. Basically, normally an introduction of the book is for what purpose? Yani, for us to know something about what we're going to yani be looking at here. To have an idea of the topic that we're going to discuss and its importance. That's really yani the key here. To know the importance of this topic. So the Sheikh, briefly, very, very briefly, he mentioned something about the importance of this topic. And whoever feels that they are yani unsure about the need for this topic, yani the few words that he mentions here should make it clear to us of the absolute critical necessity of us studying this topic, comprehending it thoroughly, and then acting upon it. Yani, if the intention is not to benefit from the knowledge by acting upon it, then there's no real benefit. Yani, we know that, as we just read recently, that was the way of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, that they used to read, they used to reflect upon the Quran, they used to study and memorize the Sunnah with the intention of istifada, getting some benefit, the ilm, the knowledge, but also, yani, equally important, inseparably, is the acting upon it, al-amal. So that has to be our intention here. that every one of us should say now, should make intention in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that my intention is to take some benefit from this so that these will be the means of helping me to purify my soul. Yeah. Sure, you can also share it with others, but most importantly, it has to be for me first. We are in need of this, dire need. Especially in this kind of society, but even if we're in the Muslim society. Tazkiyatun nafs. The Shaykh begins, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Yani, first and foremost, the praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. Naam. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya wa khatimil mursaleen, nabiyyina wa qudwatina wa qurrati ayunina, Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Hadi al-Amin, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, wa man sara ala hadihim ila yawm al-deen, amma ba'd. These words are familiar words to us, but let's look at it just a little bit. Yani, after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, wassalatu wassalamu ala ashraf al-anbiya wa khatim al-mursaleen. Yani, the salat and the salam, the salat, as Imam Bukhari narrates in his Sahih from Abu Aliya, he said it means al-thana. Yani, the thana of Allah anda al-malaika. Yani, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the highest assemblies of the malaika, of the angels. We're asking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, declare the praise of His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amongst the angels. Wassalatu wassalam ala ashraf al-anbiya, the most noble of all prophets that ever came to humanity. Wa khatim al-mursaleen, and the seal of the messengers. Yani, there's no messenger to come after him. If anybody claimed that he is a messenger or a prophet after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is a liar, right? Ghulam Ahmed claimed to be a prophet. Elijah Muhammad claimed to be a prophet. Anybody who came later and said, claimed prophethood, he is indeed a liar. Yani, because our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed he is khatim al-mursaleen. He is the seal after which there will be no other prophet or messenger. He is our prophet and he is our example, our model. Yani, our qudwa means that we actually believe that we should be acting the way he acted. That we should live our lives the way he lived. He's our qudwa. Okay, our qudwa is not some rich person, yani, who is a millionaire or billionaire, and he has some sayings that he said how he got rich, and then we follow his example. Or some entertainer, or some sports guy, or whatever, what do you call these people? Huh? Athlete. Or whatever, whoever it may be, famous people. These are not an example for us. Wallahi, we shouldn't look at them at all. They are not our example. In anything whatsoever, how could they ever be? When we have the khudwa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent for the whole of humanity, in every aspect of life, whatever it is, in every aspect of life, not just in how to worship, how to pray, in every aspect of life. Yani, how to be a ruler, how to be a follower, how to be a parent, how to be a child, how to be a husband, how to be a wife. In every aspect of life, he is our example. We shouldn't follow anything except his example. He is the qurratu ayunina, yani, the one, yani, the coolness of our eyes, meaning the pleasure, the joy of our heart and our soul. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Hadi al-Amin. The trustworthy guide. Yani, he's the Hadi, the guide. And he's the one who leads the way and we just follow. And he is trustworthy. And he will not deceive. He will not mislead. He will not fall short. He is al-Amin. Trustworthy to the end of it. All of it. Completely. Whatever Allah gave to him, he delivered it completely without holding back anything. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashraf al-anbiya wa khatim al-mursaleen, nabiyyina wa qudwatina wa qurrati ayunina, Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Hadi al-Amin, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. And also, the salat and salam be upon his family and his companions, all of them. Not a few of them, as the Shiites say. Rather, all of them, the Sahaba, radiallahu ajma'in, every single one of them. Whoever lived in the time of the Prophet and believed in him while he was living and died upon Islam, all of them, may Allah be pleased with all of them. May Allah's salat and salam be upon them, all of them. وَمَنْ سَارَ عَلَى هَدْيِهِمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, and everybody who follows, yani, their guidance, their way, until يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. Meaning, even us today, we can be yani included in this by following the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ and the way of his companions and those who followed in that way until yawm al-qiyamah. After this, the Shaykh says, فَالنَّفْسُ, and this is the core of the issue here, yani why is this subject so important? Why is it of such great importance? فَالنَّفْسُ الَّتِي بَيْنَ جَنْبَيِّ الْإِنسَانِ أَمْرُهَا عَظِيمٌ وَشَعْنُهَا كَبِيرٌ. Yani this nafs, this soul of the, yani that is between, yani that is within the physical structure of the human being, the nafs, that's the life, yani the core, the essence of the human being. Amruha azim, yani sha'nuha kabir, the affair, the station, the status of this nafs that's in the human being, that is in the physical body, the real human being, this nafs, its affair is of the utmost importance. It is tremendous. It is magnificent. Its affair, the affair of this nafs. فَقَدْ أَقْسَمَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِعَدَدٍ مِّن مَخْلُوقَاتِهِ الْكِبَارِ الدَّالَةِ عَلَى عَظَمَتِهِ Subhanahu wa ta'ala, fi Surah al-Shams. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, aqsam Allah, He has sworn upon, yani, a number of makhluqatihi, al-kibar, al-dalati al-azmatihi. Yani a number of those creations, the creations of Allah, the major creations of Allah, the great creations of Allah, which point to His greatness, which point to the greatness of Allah. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the sun and the moon and the sky and the earth and night and day. Allah, these creations of Allah point to the azama, the greatness of Allah, the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His creation points to His greatness. If the sun is great, then what about the one who created the sun? So Allah swears by His creation. Not any creation, but He swears by those magnificent, yani things that are seen in the world, that the human being can see and know that these things are great, so that we can know the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though we don't see Him. That would be, Ya Abdul Qadir. That would be, Naam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He swears by these magnificent, great, yani entities of His creation in Surah Al-Shams. Those things that indicate His greatness, He swears by them. Ala an nafs al mufliha wa ghayr al mufliha, yani swearing upon the nafs, the successful soul, and the soul that is not successful, the unsuccessful one. فَقَالَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, بَعْدَ عُوذِ بِلَمِ الشَّيْطَانِ وَجِيمِ وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ تَسَّاهَا. Yani these ayats, in these 10 ayats, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He swears upon the sun. Yani He's swearing upon these things to show the importance of the what comes after it, what He's swearing about, the importance of it. Yani the importance of this nafs and the reality of the ultimate end of every nafs, successful or unsuccessful, and what will determine the success of the nafs, that it be a successful soul or other than that, the importance of this. He's swearing by the sun and its brightness, and by the moon, إِذَا تَلَاهَا, as it follows it, تَلَاهَا. And remember, we looked at this ayah before. Some of the scholars of Sunnah use this ayah to show, yani, that the tilawa, yani tala, yatlu, tilawa, doesn't just mean recitation, but it means following. Yani tilawatul Quran doesn't just mean recitation, it means following. To follow the Quran, to act upon it. Here, the meaning is the literal, yani apparent meaning. And the moon, when it follows the sun, yani it comes in its turn after it. وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا And the day, as it displays or shows or brings out the brightness of the sun. And the night, the layl, as it covers and conceals the sun. And the sama, the heavens above. The sama, yani literally means that which is above. The sama, that is above. Yani, and they are samawat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the sama, the heaven that is above. And he who built it. And the scholars interpret yani this ayat a little bit, yani in more than one way. But in any case, this is one of the apparent meanings of it. Yani, the heaven and he who built it. And the earth and he who yani laid it out, spread it out, spread out the earth. And the nafs, yani the nafs meaning Adam alayhi salam or any nafs of any human being. And by the nafs, and the one, he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who perfected its creation, who made it even, balanced, tempered, yani, so that he created in the best way possible. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after this says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا Then he inspired the human being, or showed the human being, فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا It's yani wickedness and its righteousness, or what is yani wrong and bad for it, and what is right and good for it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is the culmination of the whole affair, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا Indeed, whoever purifies his soul, then that person has been successful. Yani, past tense, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ definitely has been successful. فَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا And he indeed who corrupts his soul, he has failed. So, yani, these ayat, if yani, whoever is able to go back and reflect upon them and read yani some of what the scholars of Tafsir have said about them, it makes us to know that the swearing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by these magnificent yani entities in His creation, which show His greatness, swearing by them shows the importance and the magnitude of this affair of the nafs, the human soul, and the reality and the fact about which there is no doubt that the one who purifies his soul will be has been successful. And the one who corrupts his soul, yani has failed. So then, in that case, in light of that, it is incumbent upon us to look at ourselves and how we are treating our souls. Are we doing that which purifies it, yani, so that we be successful? Or are we doing that which corrupts, pollutes, and destroys the soul, and destroys any hope of being successful in this world or the next, and earning the reward and pleasure of Allah in His Jannah? The Shaykh, he gives brief, yani, tafsir. And there are some any more details that could be given, but will suffice with what the Shaykh has mentioned here. The Shaykh, he says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا Yani the nafs, the one who purifies it, his nafs, that one has been successful. He says, the saying of Allah Azza wa Jalla, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا أَصْلُ الزَّكَاءِ هي الزيادة في الخير يعني the asl, the foundation, the core, the root of يعني الزكاة الزكاة يعني قد أفلح من زكاها الزكاة the meaning of it يعني the base meaning of it, the root meaning of it is الزيادة في الخير an increase in good يعني الزكاة means the original meaning of it is increase of good, increasing in good. Yani doing a lot of good. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا Whoever does a lot of good, يعني purify themselves by doing a lot of good, this is the one that is successful. وَالْمُرَادْ بِالْآيَةِ هُنَا أَنَّ مَنْ سَعَى فِي تَزْكِيَةِ نَفْسِهِ وَأَسْلَاحِهَا وَسُمُوِهَا بِالْإِسْتِكْثَارِ من الطاعات والخيرات والابتعاد عن الشرور والسيئات تحقق فلاحه. يعني what is intended by this ayat? The one who purifies his nafs, that one has been successful. What is intended here is that the one who strives, who makes an effort in this affair of the purification of his nafs and the islah, the rectification of his nafs, and the sumu, the elevation of his nafs, yani to raise it up so that it will be lofty and high, sublime. It won't be lowly, despicable, yani vile, filthy. The one who strives to raise up his nafs, to rectify his nafs, to purify his nafs, by means of istikthar, increase, plentifulness, abundance of at-ta'at wal-khayrat, acts of obedience and good deeds. Yani how do you purify your nafs? How do you yani rectify, correct, improve the nafs? How do you raise it up? It is through yani istikthar, yani doing plenty and abundance of ta'at, acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ordered us to fast, Allah ordered us to pray, Allah ordered us to give charity. Naam, to go in our pockets, in our bank accounts, in wherever we have money. And other than that, and give to those who are worthy of it, who are entitled to it, who are in need of it. And let's not be stingy. Allah commanded us, not just to pray, but He commanded us to give, yani from that which He has given us. Walaykum salam. Allah commanded us to worship Him alone. And Allah commanded us, along with that, to be dutiful to parents. Commands to worship Him and be dutiful to parents. Yani immediately connected to worshipping Allah alone is being dutiful to parents. If whoever have parents still living, be kind, be generous, be respectful, be dutiful to parents. These are things that Allah ordered us to do. Yani istikthar in ta'at means doing the things that Allah ordered us to do. Acts of obedience. And that includes yani being kind to one's neighbor, yani being helpful to the one who is elderly, for example. All of this is included. Yani doing as much as we can of ta'at and khairat and whatever is good, whatever is considered khair according to the sharia, according to Islam, whatever is considered khair. And secondly, purification and rectification and elevation of the nafs is by ibti'ad, distancing oneself from ashurur, all types of evil, was sayyiat, and sinful deeds. So, that whoever does this, strives for the purification of the nafs, and the rectification and elevation, by an abundance of acts of obedience, and doing good deeds, and distancing himself from evil, and sinful acts, تحقق فلاحه. This person is the one who has achieved, who has realized, who has actualized his success. Shaykh says, وَقَوْلُهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, and the saying of Allah, the Mighty and the Majestic, وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا, and indeed, the one yani who has polluted, corrupted his nafs, that one has failed. أَصْلُ التَّدْسِيَة, yani the أَصْل of this word, yani دَسَّاهَا, تَدْسِيَة, the أَصْل of it, هُوَ الْإِخْفَى, yani it is to hide, to cover, to conceal. As in the rules of al-tajweed, right? Al-ikhfa, noon, sakin, wa tanween. Anybody study tajweed? Al-ikhfa, naam. To hide, to conceal, to cover. Yani to cover the nafs with filth, corruption, sin, disobedience, kufr, shirk, nifaq. Yani to cover it. To bury it. فالعاسي, so the sinful person, قد أخفى نفسه الكريمة بفعل الآثام. So the sinful person has covered his noble soul by the action, the doing of sins, the commission of sins. وطمرها بالرذائل والخسائس وقمعها وأهلكها بفعل العيوب حتى صارت نفسا دنيئة وضيعة ومنحطة واستحقت بذلك الخيبة والخسران والعياذ بالله. And the Shaykh, he says that يعني the sinful person, the one who commits sins, acts of disobedience, يعني does evil deeds, that which يعني Allah has forbidden, that which يعني is disliked by Allah. The person who does these things, then they have covered up their noble nafs by the commission of these sins, and they have buried it, يعني by these despicable, lowly, filthy, vile acts, and they have يعني removed it far from what is intended for it, and caused it to be destroyed by these acts of يعني these actions that are يعني العيوب. How can we translate عيوب? يعني عيب, يعني it's something that you shouldn't be, huh? Shameful things. نعم, جزاكالله خير يا إبراهيم. Shameful deeds. يعني such that the nafs became a lowly, vile, filthy, despicable nafs. And it became deserving. يعني due to that, it became deserving of يعني the disappointment of loss and destruction, and we seek refuge in Allah from that. Okay, so the summary of the affair is that يعني the nafs, no doubt, there's no success. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. As one of the prophets of Allah, he said, يعني that my success, my ability to do that which is right and good and pleasing to Allah, is with Allah. يعني we cannot do anything except by help from Allah. But nonetheless, we have to make the effort, right? We have to make the effort. We have to actually يعني take hold of the means of reaching the goal, of achieving the good, of preventing the harm. يعني, and this is why يعني, we are expected to put our trust in Allah, but also tie the camel. Now, meaning, al-akhth bil-asbab, do something, take hold of the means to achieve the goal, and put your trust in Allah. Because really, it's with Allah in the end. Ask Allah's help, supplicate to Him, call upon Him. Yani, try to do the things that are pleasing to Allah as a means of asking for His help and His support and success from Him. There's no doubt that we put our trust in Allah, but we have to do something. So the nafs that is successful is the nafs that has been purified. And the nafs that will be unsuccessful, that will fail, is the one that has been corrupted, polluted. So it is up to us to either increase in doing good deeds or to go down the path of the sinful, disobedient ones, and who destroy their soul, who bury it in filth, who make it, yani, make its end and yani its destination, the destination of destruction. Here the Shaykh, he quotes from Al-Fawa'id li Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah. He says, yani Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, فَالنُّفُوس الشريفة لا ترضى من الأشياء إلا بأعلاها وأفضلها وأحمدها عاقبة. النفوس الشريفة, the noble souls, يعني righteous souls, the souls of those who are seeking the pleasure of Allah, لا ترضى من الأشياء إلا بأعلاها, will not be pleased with anything except the highest of them. يعني أفضلها, the best of them. وأحمدها عاقبة, يعني those that whose endings, the end of the affair will be most praiseworthy. يعني when we seek to do anything, we will look to see, is this something lofty, noble, sublime? Is this from the best of the deeds? Is this from the deeds whose end, يعني whose end will be praiseworthy, or whose end will be blameworthy? Yani a person steals, and a person, what do they call it? Embezzlement. They cheat. They use trickery, deception, to get over, as they say, now. But in the end, the aqibah is not praiseworthy. So now we see in the world that we're living in today, some people who did all kind of things, and now we are seeing the consequence down the line. The end is not praiseworthy. We don't have to mention examples. They're all around us. They're everywhere to see. Just look around and see the blameworthy end of those who cheated, who lied, who stole, who disobeyed Allah. Look at the blameworthy end. That's not the end that the believer wants. Therefore, don't travel their path. The noble souls are not pleased except with those things that are a'laha, yani the most high, the best, the most praiseworthy endings. When nufus ad-dani'a tahumu hawla ad-dana'at wa taqa'u 'alayha kama yaqa'u adh-dhubabu 'ala al-akthar. So yani the lowly souls, yani vile, despicable souls, yani tahumu, yani taduru, jazakallahu khair, taduru hawla, yani they linger around, they circle around, they stick to the despicable things, despicable actions, despicable behavior. And they fall into, they dive into, they delve and become engrossed in those things the same way the flies fall into filth. Yani what kind of filth do flies fall into? The nastiest of filth. This is the an-nufus ad-dani'a. It swims in filth. Naam. And in the filthy people, in the filthy societies, even you can't walk in the streets except walking in filth. Allahu musta'an. This is the nafs ad-dani'a. It loves filth, corruption, yani lowly things, filthy, vile behavior. فالنفس الشريفة العالية لا ترضى بالظلم ولا بالفواحش ولا بالسرقة والخيانة لأنها أكبر من ذلك وأجل. So the noble soul, the high, lofty soul, it is not pleased with dhulm, wrongdoing, oppression. It's not pleased with fawahish, filthy, evil, yani indecent, immoral behavior, illegal sexual relations and the like. It's not pleased with stealing. It's not pleased with khiyana, violation of trust. Somebody entrusted you with something. They entrusted you. And then you violate the trust. Deception. And this is because the noble souls, they are akbar min dhalik wa ajal. They are bigger than that. They are above that. They are higher than that. They avoid this kind of blameworthy behavior. When nafsu المهينة الحقيرة الخسيسة بدد من ذلك. And the opposite is so of the lowly, despicable, يعني vile souls. يعني they love oppression, wrongdoing, stealing, lying, cheating, filthy behavior. They love this. Isn't it so that they publicly, openly brag about their filth and their immoral behavior? Huh? They say it openly. They put it on Facebook, whatever, I don't know, what's the other names? Huh? What do they call it? Instagram, Twitter, huh? Snapchat. Allahu musta'an, social media. They go on television and they talk about it. Wallah, I heard a radio interview some years ago. The guy, the man, he was the governor of a state, a major state in America. He was the governor. And he wrote a book. And they asked him about his book interview. They said, read a chapter. They gave him a chapter to read. The chapter that when his wife was in the hospital delivering the baby, he was at home in the bed with another man. Wallahi, he read it on television. I didn't see it. I heard it on the radio. They were playing the recording of it. And he was reading it on television in front of people. This is a person who's not a bum in the street. No, he's the governor of a state of New Jersey, by the way. I don't remember his name. Maybe somebody knows. We don't need it. It's not important. This is how filthy and lowly these people are. They love it. They brag about it. They're not ashamed of it. They have no shame. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say what? In lam tastahi fasna ma shi'at. If you have no shyness, no shame, no modesty, then you will do whatever you like. There's no boundaries, no limits. Allahu musta'an. May Allah save us from this. Any share of it whatsoever. فَكُلُّ نَفْسٍ تَمِيلُ إِلَى مَا يُنَاسِبُهَا وَيُشَاقِلُهَا. So every nafs, it is inclined, it leans towards that which is appropriate or suitable for it, that which fits it. That which fits it. Huh? And that's the way it is, yani. Yani, they say you can know, I don't know how the saying goes, but something like that. Anyway, there are some hadith we can use better, right? The people, you know the person by the who they are with. The kind of people that they are with. The people that they associate with. The people that they like to be around. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, أَمَرُوا عَلَىٰ دِينِ خَلِيلِهِ فَلْيَنْظُرْ عَدُكُمْ لِمَنْ يُخَالِفْ. Yani, a person will be upon the deen of his close friend. So be careful. Look carefully to who you choose for a friend. Because you will be upon the deen of your friend. You will be like the people that you are around. So, the nafs, it is inclined towards, it leans towards that which is suitable for it, is appropriate, that is befitting of it, that's the same as it. وَلَمَّا كَانَتْ تَزْكِيَةُ النَّفْسِ بِهَذِهِ الْأَهَمِّيَّةِ وَجَبَ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ نَاصِحٍ لِنَفْسِهِ أَنْ يُعْنَى بِهَا عِنَايَةً فَائِقَةً وَأَنْ يُجَاهِدَ نَفْسَهُ فِي حَيَاتِهِ عَلَى تَحْقِيقِ هَذِهِ الْغَايَةِ الْحَمِيدَةِ ليفلح في دنياه وأخراه وينعم بالسعادة الحقيقية. So since it became clear to us that the purification of the soul is of this yani magnitude of importance, like this, and it's the determining factor. Yani, if the soul is purified, rectified, yani corrected, elevated, then it will be successful. It will earn the pleasure of Allah and His Jannah. And the opposite, the same. So since the purification of the soul is of this great importance, it is obligatory upon every Muslim that cares about himself. ناصي لنفسه. Yani, who really cares about your own self. You want to give advice to somebody? First and foremost, give advice to yourself. So the Muslim who cares about himself, it is important that that person attend to this matter of the purification of the nafs, inaya fa'iqa, with the highest level of attention, of care, like intensive care, like the one in the hospital, intensive care, intensive care. What do they call it? Al inaya, al murakkaza. Naam, intensive care. It is incumbent upon the Muslim who cares about himself to have intensive care for the purification of the nafs. وَأَنْ يُجَاهِدَ نَفْسَهُ فِي حَيَاتِهِ. And to strive, to subdue, to contain, to manage one's nafs throughout the whole of your life. Striving, يعني, to achieve this praiseworthy goal, the purification of the nafs, so that you may be successful, so that he may be successful, so that she may be successful in one's worldly life and in the life, one's life in the hereafter. And that one may earn the blessing and the bounty of as-sa'ada al-haqiqiyya, any real happiness. Not the happiness that one achieves from listening to some haram music. Not the happiness that one achieves from getting on a strip and racing cars like crazy people, insanity. Not the joy that a person enjoys from some good food. Or whatever it is that people enjoy, whether it's lawful or unlawful. Rather, you will achieve as-sa'ad al-haqiqiyya, meaning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His reward, that is al-jannah. فَإِنَّ لِلنَّفْسِ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمْ حَقًّا. Indeed, the nafs, it has a right over the Muslim. كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن لنفسك عليك حقا. Indeed, the nafs, it has a right over the Muslim. It has a right over you that you must fulfill. You will be called to account for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question you about it. And you will be held responsible, meaning you will suffer the consequences if you didn't fulfill that right. There will be consequences. In this world even, but more importantly in the next life. It is narrated in Al-Bukhari. This is not in the book. Yani related to this hadith. It's not in the book. But it's narrated in Al-Bukhari. That in the time when the people migrated from Mecca to Medina, the Prophet ﷺ made brothers between people from the Muhajireen and the Ansar. Made some of them brothers of one another. So Salman and Abu Ad-Darda were brothers. So one day he went to visit him. Salman went to visit Abu Darda. And in summary of the story, it's in Bukhari. He went to visit him. And he found his wife in some, any like work clothes. That, you know, just, any not something nice. So he said, what is this? Why are you wearing these like kind of clothing? She said, yani, your brother, he's not interested yani, in worldly stuff. And he doesn't care how she dressed. When he came, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he began to fix some food for Salman. Salman, he told him, eat. He told him, no, you eat with me. He said, I'm fasting. He said, I won't eat unless you eat. So he made him eat with him. Night came, he went to sleep. Abu Darda got up to pray night prayer. Salman told him, radiallahu anhu, sleep. He slept a little while, he got up again, sleep. When last day of the night came, Salman told him, now. And they both got up and they prayed. Then, this is when this hadith came. That's when this came. Yani it's reported in Al-Bukhari that Salman said to Abu Darda radiallahu anhuma, Inna li rabbika alayka haqqan. That indeed your Rabb has a right over you. Wa inna li nafsika alayka haqqan. And your nafs also has a right over you. وَلِأَهْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا And also your family has a right over you. فَأَعْطِي كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقَّهُ So give everyone that has a right, it's right. Allah has a right. Naam. Fasting, praying in the night, Allah has a right. Your body has a right. Your family has a right. I don't have the time, but it's so important really to look at what he said to him here. Allah has a right, that's first and foremost. Allah's right. But your body also has a right. Don't abuse yourself. And your family also has a right. Don't say, I have to go to the masjid, I have to work, I don't have any time. No, your family also has a right. Allah has a right. Your family has a right. And you, physically, your body, your mind, your soul also has a right. So give everyone that has a right, it's right. That's Islam. The balance. Give Allah his right. Give your family their rights. And also attend to yourself. Don't neglect or abuse your own self. The nafs has a right. And the right of the nafs, the most important right, is tazkiyat al-nafs. So that you can be successful in the next life. May Allah grant us success. So the nafs, it has... Naam. It was the speech of Salman. It was the speech of Salman. And then when Abu Dharr went to the Prophet ﷺ and told him the story of what he said, Sadaqa Salman. He has told the truth. Naam. That what he said is true. Naam. That's how it came in Bukhari. So, the nafs has a right over the Muslim. And the Prophet ﷺ said, yani he agreed to that which Salman said, or it may have been narrated in another hadith even also. Naam. Yani marfu'an. That your nafs, it has a right over you. And it is wrong. The person is mistaken who thinks, وَيُخْتِعُ مَنْ يَظُنُّ أَنَّ حَقَّ النَّفْسِ يَكُونُ بِالتَّشْدِيدِ عَلَيْهَا وَحِرْمَانِهَا مِنْ حُقُوقِهَا أَلَّتِي فَطَرَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى النُّفُوسَ عَلَى احْتِيَاجِ إِلَيْهَا يعني it is wrong. The person is in error. Who thinks that the right of the nafs is that you yani be overbearing, a tashjid, you be harsh on the nafs. And that you deprive it, hirmaniha, you deprive it, you deny it from its rights which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a part of its innate nature. He created it upon that nature that it has needs of certain things. To deny it, to deprive it of that, this is not correct. This is wrong. The person who thinks that just abusing, denying, depriving the nafs is its right. This tashdeed is, for example, like the asceticism of the Sufis. Or the asceticism of the monks, the Christians, and other people like this, who deny the human being the things that Allah made naturally for it to have a right to. Yani, the priests in the Catholic Church, they told them, don't marry. So what they do? They get little boys. Subhanallah. That's a fact. And they're paying billions of dollars around the world because of this sexual abuse, child abuse, from these filthy, lowly nufus, who they put in front of the people as religious guides. But we are more close to the deviation of the Sufi, the Muslims, who went to this shidda in depriving the human being of its, of the things that is entitled to, and that it is in need of naturally, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended for it. I want to just mention here a hadith that's not in the book also, but it's in Sahih Muslim. Just quickly, a group of people from the companions of the Prophet, a man came to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wasa'alu azwaj an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam an 'amalihi fi sirr. They asked his wives about what he used to do in private. They want to know, we see him in public, we want to know what he's doing in private, because we want to do like that. They want to go more, they want to do further. What is he doing in private? So some of them, or one of them said, la tazawwaju an-nisa. And one of them said, la aqulu al-lahma. And in some of the narrations, it explains about this meat, how it affected that person, that's why they didn't want to eat meat. And some of us, we don't want to eat meat, for whatever reason. But this is not from the Sharia of Allah, that a person doesn't eat meat. That's not from the Sharia of Allah. One of them said, I will not marry women. One of them said, I will not eat meat, lahm. One of them said, la anamu ala firash. I will not sleep on the bed, meaning I will stay up all night long praying. So the Prophet ﷺ, فَحَمِدَ اللَّهُ وَأَثْنَى عَلَيْهِ. He came to know about this, he praised Allah and glorified Him, he said, مَا بَالُ أَقْوَامٍ قَالُوا كَذَا وَكَذَا. What about the people who are saying such and such and so and so? This one saying, I will not get married. This one saying, I will not eat meat. This one saying, I will not sleep at night. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَكِنِّي. What is with these people saying these kind of things? As though what they're doing is good, even though it's not in accordance with the sunnah. So the Prophet ﷺ said, لَكِنِّي أُصَلِّي وَأَنَامُ. I pray at night, some prayer in the night, tahajjud, right? But I also sleep at night, I don't stay up all night long. Because why? فَإِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا. وَأَصُومُ وَأُفْتِرُ. And I fast some days, and I also break fast some days. I don't fast every day. Because Allah has a right, and your nafs has a right. وَأَتَزَوَّجُ النِّسَاءَ. And I also marry women. That's from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't say if a person didn't get married, they're not a Muslim. But to say that I would not get married, really this is not correct. Rather, a person might say, I'm not ready right now. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَكِنِّي. But this is what I do. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, you have an excellent model, example for and in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're coming to the end of our time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, I sleep in the night and I pray in the night, I fast and I break fast and I marry women. فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever is not pleased with my sunnah, he is not from me. And just to be clear, whenever we mention this hadith, I always want to say, it doesn't mean that person is not a Muslim. We're not saying they're not a Muslim because they abandon a sunnah. But we're saying this is very strong language, for the Prophet ﷺ said, for him to say, whoever's not pleased with my sunnah is not from me. فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. He's not from me, he's not a part of me, and he disassociated from me. If you're not pleased with the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that's a defect that needs to be corrected. The Shaykh, he says here, the one is in error who thinks that the right of the nafs is to be harsh and hard and overbearing with it, and to deprive it of the rights which Allah created it by its nature to be in need of. كَمَا يُخْتِي مَنْ يَظُنُّ أَنَّ حَقَّ النَّفْسِ يَكُونُ بِالتَّفْرِيطِ وَإِهْمَالِ سِيَاسَتِهَا وَتَرْكِهَا مُنْغَمِسَةً فِي شَهْوَاتِهَا وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ. Nor is it right. Yani the one also is in error who thinks that the right of the nafs is to neglect it and to leave it, to abandon control of it, to let it be unmanageable and to leave it drowning, submerged in its desires and whatever is like that. This is also wrong. Yani this one extreme and this the other extreme. Denying oneself and then neglecting, letting it just roam freely, doing whatever you want to do. Just do whatever you like. These are both wrong. These are extremes. And Islam, the way of Islam, is the way of moderation. Al-wasat. And the Shaykh says, وَهَيْهَاتْ أَن تَكُونُ تَزْكِيَةُ النَّفْسِ بِمِثْلِ ذَلِكَ. Far be it. Yani it is far from the truth that the تَزْكِيَةُ النَّفْسِ is like this, that. Yani this one or that one. These extremes. But rather, بَلْ تَزْكِيَةُ النَّفْسِ. Yani the purification of the nafs, it is yani bil masalik ash-shar'iyya, by following the ways of the sharia, yani the modes, the roads of behavior that are legislated in the sharia. Wa bit tawassut wal i'tidal, yani tawassut, by moderation, and i'tidal, balance, being balanced. فَلَا إِفْرَاطْ وَلَا تَفْرِيطْ. Not going to extremism, exaggerating the affairs, nor being neglectful and negligent. بَلْ بِلُزُومْ حَدْي النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَنَهْجِهِ الْقَوِيمْ. But rather by sticking to, adhering to the guidance of the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ and his upright methodology. Okay, so we close. We're way over time. I'm sorry. And we're going to close, inshallah, by the closing words the Shaykh, he mentions, وَسَأَذْكُرْ فِي هَذِهِ الْمُخْتَصَرْ عَشْرَ قَوَاعِدْ مُهِمَّةِ. And I'm going to mention here, in this brief writing, 10 important principles that will help and assist the Muslim to achieve the purification of his nafs and to strengthen his nafs and to purify it from everything that pollutes it or corrupts it or disfigures it. And those 10 principles in brief, yani he mentioned the first principle is Tawheed aslu ma tazku bihi an nufus. Yani that Tawheed is the foundation upon which the souls are purified. And the second principle, he said, Ad-du'a miftah zakatun nufus. That supplication is the key to the purification of the soul. Dua is the key to purification. You can't do it by yourself. Dua, you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. And the third principle, Al-Quran, Al-Kareem, manba' tazkiyah wa ma'inuha. That, yani, the noble Quran, it is the source, it is the spring from which, yani, tazkiyah occurs. And the fourth principle is taking the uswa and qudwa of the Prophet ﷺ as our model and our example. And the fifth principle is tazkiyah requires takhliyah wa tahliyah. Takhliyah, to remove whatever needs to be removed, and tahliyah, to bring in that which is necessary, yani of good, to replace it, to remove some stuff, and then replace it with that which is good. And the sixth principle is closing the openings, the manafidh, through which a person goes away from tazkiyah and distance themselves from virtuous behavior and they fall into evil, corrupt ways. And the seventh principle is tadhakkur al-maut wa liqa Allah azza wa jalla, remembering death and remembering the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the eighth principle is takhayyur الجلساء وانتقاء الرفقاء. يعني being choosing carefully and selecting carefully who you sit with and who you be with, your friends and your companions. And the ninth principle is being warned against العجب والاغترار بالنفس. يعني being, يعني thinking you are something special. العجب بالنفس, يعني the person who thinks that I'm everything, I'm really that one. Don't be deceived. And the tenth principle is knowing, معرفة النفس, knowing the self. And these are the ten principles that we're going to talk about in brief. Some of them are very, very brief, but they're all of great importance. The Shaykh, he says, after that he supplicated, we close with this, وَأَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَىٰ أَيُزَكِّ نُفُوسَنَا, I ask Allah the Most High to purify our souls and to rectify our deeds and to make our speech to be correct, يُسَدِّدْ أَقْوَالَنَا, and to make us to see the truth for being the truth, and then to grant us the ability to follow it, الْإِتِّبَاعَ, and that he guide us to the best of akhlaq, of character, and the best of deeds and acts of worship, and that he turn away from us the evil akhlaq and the evil deeds, and that he distance us from all fitan, trials and tribulations, that which is apparent of it and that which is hidden. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.